We can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 1 to 14. Today we'd like to see the title of We Can Do Nothing Against the Truth But for the Truth in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 1 to 14. To the souls on this online world through podcasts or YouTube channel on earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in verse 2, I have told you before and foretell, as if I were present the second time, and now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before and to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare. What does it mean in the context, and how can apply it to our lives? Question 2 in verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified. What does it mean? And how can we apply it to our lives? Last question in verse 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. What does it mean in the context, and how can we learn from here? In Paul's third mission trip, he wrote this letter to Corinthian Christians. Paul wanted to keep his humble ministry as to the Lord, not to men, but now inevitably boasted for their souls, protected from false prophets convincing them. In the last time in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 21, lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of their uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. When I come again, my God should not humble me among you. If there were such works of the flesh, Paul would convince or rebuke you, like the chapter 12 on which Paul boasts fleshly things unavoidably. Then God would humble him, and Paul would bewail some of you who have previously practiced uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness, but have not repented of those things. Here we can learn we would ministry usually as to the Lord, not to man, unless some things according to the flesh are necessary to be disclosed for the souls of his sheep. Verse 1, this will be the third time I am coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses every word shall be established. While Paul the apostle is coming the third time, the unrepented sinners about their uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness would be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Right here, cross reference. Verse 2, I have told you before and foretell, as if I were present the second time, and now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before, and to all the rest, that I come again, I will not spare. In Paul's second time visit, Paul taught the sinners to repent privately or with one witness, but in third time he would rebuke the still unrepentant sinners with two or three witnesses, or before the church, and let him repent before the Lord. If they refused to hear the church, he would excommunicate them from the church. Cross reference right there. Verse 3 up to 4. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you, for though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you, because you're sick. Proof Christ is speaking in me. I am not weak toward you, but mighty in you, because Jesus was crucified in weakness due to his full obedience to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus has been highly exalted by the power of God from the death. We, Paul and Timothy, also were weak in Jesus, fully obedient to God in Jesus, humble ministry to you, but we will deal the sins with the power of God to you, no compromise. Verse 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, because Jesus purchased you at a price of blood. The Spirit of Christ possesses you, so that any devils or Satan who was already defeated by Jesus' resurrection couldn't possess you. The Spirit is the guarantee for your eternal inheritance, the redemption of the purchased possession. At the time of your mover into heaven in His glory, either your physical death or your rapture, we live in the present tense. We do not live in the past tense because it was the past. We do not live in the future because it doesn't come yet. If Christ or the Spirit of Christ or the Holy Spirit of God is not in you, you are non-Christian. But the defeated Satan or devil tempts Christians to pervert the words of the living God. Christians possessed by a devil rather than tempted by a devil. Resist him, steadfast in the face of the living word. Purchase the possession by the Lord. Verse 6, but I trust that you will not know that we are not disqualified. Paul exhorts all Christians, all Corinthians in whom Christ is. That is, all Corinthians are Christians, born-again Christians, who are saved. Verse 7, now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. Paul prays to God that Corinthian Christians do no evil and do what is honorable, even if Paul and Timothy might not recognize some hidden sins, and so they as world ministers might not do accordingly. Such as the book convinced or teach. Verse 8, for we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Paul and Timothy can do for the truth. The truth is going to stand. They live by faith, which is hearing by the word of God, the truth. In the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as you mission tourist key was to know Jesus more and to live by faith. Verse 9, for we are glad when you are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. We are glad so we are weak in Jesus due to humble ministry, obedient to the Lord and His share. You are strong in Christ who strengthens you. Like this, we pray you may be mature or complete, sanctified by the Spirit, the Word of God, faith, and prayer. So this one, cross-reference right there. Verse 10, therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification, not for destruction. Before I come, I, as an apostle, write this presently stated thing to edify you to the body of Christ. Word of ministers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, duty ordered to the Lord. When I come, I would not want to use sharpness to destroy you. For example, a book on repentant sinners with two or three witnesses before the church, or excommunicate them from the church. The Bible speaks of God as a devouring fire. God destroyed the sinners, 185,000 killed, or the Spirit of God consumed the sins of our hearts. Katanaliskon pier, that is a Greek word. Katanaliskon means devouring, destroying, or consuming. Pure means a fire. So that is the meaning. Verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of a good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love, peace, will be with you. Farewell, be mature, like Jesus' image, sanctified by the Spirit, the Word of God, faith and prayer. Be of good comfort to suffering people. Be of one mind, quit the division, live in peace, don't have the factions. The God of love and peace will be with you. Comfort, peace, God's love, and God's peace can come from their fellowship with our Lord, which is overflowing to the fellowship with themselves. Then divine joy may be full. So divine joy coming from the Lord. You know, so that is one fellowship, one bond. Fellowship is meaning I am Jesus, He is mine. That comes from the bondage relationship, 12 and 13. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. Greet each other with holy kiss. Then it was a culture. All the saints in other place than Corinth greet you. Verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. This verse is often used with a benediction as well as Lord's Prayer at the end of services to the Lord. Here, the Trinity term is not explicitly stated, but impliedly used like other verses in the scripture. Angel Gabriel foretelling Jesus' birth to Mary, Virgin Mary, Jesus' water baptism, new disciples' water baptism. These three, the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit, are one. So here we experience God's grace, love, and fellowship. We covered all three questions. Let's just sing all together, Maranatha song. So also you may see the attached prayer request. Also, thank you so much your prayer for European Union mission tour. So amazingly, we share the Jesus and to live by faith in the scripture. God bless you.